Thanks, Sim. I'm just going to grab a microphone. Thanks, Felicity. Good morning. Good to see you all. Now, listen, a few weeks ago, probably about 6 weeks ago, I spoke a little bit, just a reminder of our vision. Where are we going as a church? What do we sense God is calling us to do as a family? And today, I said I'd come back. Today is that day. And tell you how you can be involved in that. It's not just the church nebulous. We are the church, so that's each one of us is involved in it. And when I spoke a few weeks ago, we looked at that amazing passage where Jesus commissions Peter. Do you remember it? And he says, "I tell you, Peter, that on this rock," Peter means rock, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it." First of all, we remember that this is Jesus' church. It's not my church. It's not the Church of England's church. It's Jesus' church, and he's building his church. That's his job. He is building his church. We don't need to worry about the church or the future of it because it's in the safest hands possible, in Jesus' hands. We remember that it was a prevailing church. Do you remember we looked at that? There was a message translation of it, which is amazing. And it goes like this: "You are Peter, a rock. This is the rock on which I will put together my church, a church so expansive in energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to overcome it or to keep it out." The idea is not that hell traps us in, but the kingdom of God is pushing out all the time. And there are 3 billion people in the world today who are testament to the fact that the kingdom of God is growing. It started with 12. It's 3 billion now, and it's growing faster and faster. It's extraordinary. It's Jesus' church, and it's prevailing. And so then we thought a little bit about what's our part in this, and I said there are 3 things that we feel we're called to do from God. First of all, called to, you name 3. Who knows the 3? They're all with G. Gather, grow, go. That's right. It's boring, but it's exciting, isn't it? Because we're going to gather. We feel that we're called to gather together, that everyone is welcome into this family. Everyone and anyone. There are no cliques, there's no exclusivity. Everyone is welcome in this family here, in this tiny little part of Jesus' church. We learn that as we come together, we're going to be people who are dependent on God, not our own self-reliance and doing things well. We can do things well, but God can do it even better. So we want to offer the little that we have, our fishes and our loaves, and God's going to multiply it to more. So we gather dependent on God and on his Holy Spirit. And we want to use this building and all the things he's given us as generously as possible so that more and more of the community feel and find a place here, particularly those who are isolated and marginalized and feel that they're on the edges of this community that we live in. Second thing we said is that we want to grow. We want to learn from Jesus and become more like Jesus, become disciples of him. And so we do that through gathering together in small groups. And if you're not in a small group, I'd really encourage you. It's a great way of just knowing a few other people who can, you can pray together, encourage one another, read God's word, listen to God's word, and pray for the needs of the world. It's a brilliant way to do it. In our corporate worship, and we've just done that today, we want to make space for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because they're there to encourage the church. They weren't just for the early church. They're there to build us up. And God wants to give you gifts, spiritual gifts, and you'll try them out here in church, and you'll be able to use them out in the streets to bring the kingdom of God out in the places where you work or where you live, where you're at school, wherever you are. And then finally, we want to do all that we can to grow by serving and loving one another. I know I harp on about this quote all the time, but I just think it's really true, and I've discovered it in the last few years, so I'll go on about it a bit. This is from Rowan Williams. "If you want to be with Jesus," that means being a follower of Jesus, "you need to keep the company of those that Jesus keeps. So we need to intentionally go to the edges for the sake of our own faith and discipleship." Jesus says, if you want to be a real disciple, it's not enough just to come here on a Sunday to listen, to have an amazing worship list on your Spotify, to read your Bible regularly. There's a place at which you meet Jesus in the places of the greatest need in our community. And that may be the food bank, it may be places overseas, but it may even be your neighbour who's having a crisis. It may be in your own home where there's a crisis. Those are the places where Jesus is. And if you want to become a disciple of Jesus and become more like him, be with him in those places. And he's there. And by the way, if you're in those crises, if you're in those crises, Jesus is there. Because Jesus was always in the places of the greatest need. And where your need is great, greater maybe than normal, Jesus is there. He's always with us, but he's with you in that. So that's gathering and growing. And then finally, we go. And, you know, I said this last time, we don't go in order to earn the love of God. We go out of a love for God. So don't go if you think you're going to get rewarded for it. Go because, you know, like that video said, that God is so for us. How wonderful that we can get to go and share that love with other people as well. And so as a church, we've been going a bit. God has brought in an influx of young families, particularly in the last couple of years. You know, it's really encouraging. I think we've grown now as a size of congregation to the numbers that we had pre-lockdown. And that's bucking the trend in some of the churches of our size around the country. We're really blessed that God is sending young families. Our pastoral care is really expanding. And we're pushing into thinking, how do we get more involved in Dorking Hospital? How do we minister in our care homes around the community? We're pushing out with Karen's work, with some of our tea together, and we did before with the warm space. Jane has just been appointed as our community social transformation lead, thinking about how can we partner with other Christian charities in our town to show the love of Jesus. How do we resource, support, partner with them? And then, of course, Milo, this is where you can, I forgot the slide last time, Dorking. We love Dorking, don't we? We love Dorking and the outlying villages. 17,000 people, of which about 16,500 of them are lost sons and daughters of our dear Heavenly Father. And about 8,000 of them are praying. They're reaching out to God. They may not have a faith they can articulate, but they have a sense that there's something greater. And we're called to go. We're called to go to these guys and show them the love of Jesus. That's so excited. Now, the good news is that we all get to play. The passage that Felicity read to us, the Great Commission, is really fascinating. Because Jesus says, doesn't he? We all know this one. Go and make disciples of all nations. In fact, in Acts 1, he says to the disciples, stay in Jerusalem, and you will receive power from the Holy Spirit when it comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So he says to the 11 at this point, stay in Jerusalem, and then your Holy Spirit will come, and then you'll move out. Now, go forward 7 chapters to Acts chapter 8. Poor Stephen is stoned to death. And it says in verse 1, on that day of chapter 8, on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And all, except the apostles, were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. The apostles stayed in Jerusalem. If you want to know why they stayed, there's a fascinating reason. I'll tell you at the end if you want to hear, but we're short of time. They were allowed to stay. So he was sent out because Jesus said, you're going to be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria. Who were these people who ended up being witnesses in Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth? They were these fledgling Christians who had pretty much only just come to faith in Jesus. They'd heard Peter and the other apostles talking about Jesus. They'd come to faith, they'd been filled with the Spirit. And very soon after that, the persecution drives them out and they start witnessing. These are little baby Christians doing it. That's how the church began. Guys, we're not baby Christians. And often when I chat to folks, they say, oh, I could never lead a small group, or I could never share my faith, or I wouldn't know what to say. And I thought, you know, and I understand that. I totally do. I told you last time how I totally got floored by this guy when I had this perfect opportunity to talk to him about Jesus and just kind of froze and stared at him and then asked for a cappuccino. So I know it because I live it. But if little fledgling Christians can do it, we can do this. So maybe the thing is just that we've set the bar a bit too low for what we're capable of and what God can do through us. Maybe we have to reconsider because they got shoved out and they did it, so we can do it. So what am I asking you to do today? I'm not asking you to go to Judea and Samaria. Don't worry. But this is what I am asking to do. On your seats, you should have a pledge card. And I'm asking you to do three things today. First of all, I'd like you to commit yourself to prayer. And this particular, I'd like you to commit. We believe that prayer changes everything. And we believe, and Jesus, and the Bible is very clear, that God can do impossible things, things we couldn't imagine when we pray. And so I'd like you to commit to pray. And I'd like you to commit to pray for three things. I'd like you to pray for the vision of our church, reaching these 17,000 people for Jesus. I'd like you to pray, as we did during Thy Kingdom Come, for your five. Do you remember we asked you to pray for five people who don't currently know Jesus, that they would come to faith? We want to keep that going. We're going to keep it going until we see them come to faith. I remember Karen Wheatley was telling me she prayed for five. Two of them have now become Christians, so she had to add two more on, and she's still praying for the other three. So we're going to commit to that. So can we do, again, listen, it's not school. I'm not going to check up on you, but it's a good thing, isn't it? I want to read this. This is from Watchman Nee, who was a Chinese pastor ministering in the 30s and 40s. And he says this about prayer and prayer of the church. Let us understand that the church's noblest work, the greatest task she could ever undertake, is to be the outlet for God's will. For the church to be the outlet of God's will, she needs to pray. Such prayer is not fragmentary. It is a prayer ministry, prayer as work. And then listen to this. As God gives vision and opens people's eyes to see his will, so people rise up to pray. So I ask you today to consider, will you commit to pray? Will you commit to think that this is God's vision to save our town, to come alongside those five that you know and love, and to truly bring faith and life and hope to them? That's pray. Secondly, I'd love to ask you to commit to serve. Now, we serve wherever we are, at work, at home, with our neighbors, with our colleagues. Even we serve when you're in a supermarket queue, the attitude, with the spirit with which you engage with the checkout person. We can show love, or we can show agitation and stress that we've waited in the queue. We can do whatever we want in those moments, can't we? And I'd like you to commit to serve. And within the church, there's lots of ways to be involved. I think we always are looking for children's and youth minister team. We are really struggling, Sylvie, aren't we, with small groups. We just simply don't have people who are coming forward and saying, I don't know necessarily, I know I've got the skills, but I want to make myself available to lead a small group. If some of these 17,000 start coming to faith and come here, we're not going to be able to put them in small groups because we don't have enough people prepared to lead them. And then finally, to give. I want to talk just for a little while on giving, because this is important. Giving, first and foremost, is just an act of worship to God. We give to God because he's given us everything. We just give back a little bit in recognition of that. And so it is an act of worship. The Bible suggests a percentage of our income that we give. I'm sure many of you know that. Some of us give more, some of us give less as we're able. And it's a discipline, because the discipline of giving allows us to realize that we have to trust God, not the things that we can amass to look after us. But also in being generous with what we have, giving it away, we become like God in his generosity. So it's a characteristic of his to be generous. And we practice that by giving. The most helpful slide I've ever seen on giving is one. Mine, if you could pop up the triangle. We're all at different stages and situations of giving. So no one can do a talk where we're all on the same bar, but there is a bit of a journey here. I don't know if you can see it. I think the outer screens are probably clearer than the middle screen. There are some of us who just don't currently give at all to the work of the church. Some of us give occasionally. Some of us give a little bit more consistently, but it's not necessarily that tithe, that percentage. Some of us are regularly tithing. And then right at the top, there is this radical generosity. I remember there was a lady in our church who gave about a year ago. She felt God stirred her, and she gave a third of her savings to the church. I'm not asking for that, by the way. And she thought, I don't know how it's radical hospitality is where you give, it's sort of where you give almost beyond your means, where you choose not to have a holiday or choose not to upgrade your car, or you sacrifice in order to give to God or a particular need of God. And I'm not here today because we're all at different places on that triangle. But what I'd like to ask you to do is to commit to review your giving. Now, if you don't give at all, that's wonderful, because there's a great opportunity for you to give. And where you are on that scale, I'd like you to commit to pray and to seek with God what he says. Myla, can you pop up that verse? That would be brilliant. Thank you. The Bible's pretty clear on it. It says, each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And this is a wonderful bit. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Do you see how giving is not just a legalistic thing? It's about living freer. When I think I've said it before, when Jen and I went into the ministry, we took an 80% pay cut. And I honestly thought, I said, how this works out. I looked at the things that we need to cut back, and we cut everything back. And we were about 30% out of sync. And you know, year after year after year after year, God provides for us. And it is extraordinary. It is extraordinary. I don't think I've ever been freer with 20% of the income that we used to have. I've never been freer with money, because I know that he'll provide. And there is something about living free and trusting God. And sometimes we have to put ourselves in those awkward positions where it is a stretch in order to do that. So I'm just asking you to go away and to think about it. Now, within that, I need to give you a challenge. And this isn't why we're doing all of this, but it is partly. Because we have a challenge as a church. In the last couple of years, we have seen a steady influx, particularly of young families coming into our church congregation, which is wonderful. At the same time, we've seen a £45,000 reduction in the amount of giving that we get as a church. It's been a number of people have moved away, a number of people have passed away who have been very generous in the past. And so we find ourselves with a budget right now with £45,000 off the money that we've committed to spend. And then on top of that, you know that as a whole church leadership, we have committed to, we feel that God is calling us, at the same time, Becky will be moving on. Becky, it will be, which will be a great sadness to us. And we also recognize that Jeff and Jenny, who are our non-stipendary ministers, really do want to enjoy retirement rather than just be dragged out constantly to get involved in things. And so we have less of a team, well, it's after Becky will be me, come the summer. And so these are lean times. And within all of that, we believe as we've prayed that there is a wave that is coming. There is a wave of the Holy Spirit that is coming across this town. And we do believe that there's going to be a time where people will either rise up on that wave and come to know Jesus for themselves, or they're going to need to be rescued. And we believe this is the time for us to prepare for that. And so we have a challenge here where we have a budget deficit, well, a gap, therefore, of £100,000 that we need to try and raise as a church family in order to appoint an associate and fill our deficit needs. That's a big number. It's a scary number. Sarah, I don't know if you want to come forward. Where's Sarah? We were a bit scared when we looked at that number. And as a PCC, so as a group of about 21 of us from within the church leadership, we've met and we've prayed and we've sought God. And we believe this is right for us to pursue it. And if it's right with God, then we know that there's a way that he will fund this. We can't reach out to some big Church of England pot. Everything that we do as this church is funded by the congregation. There is no other money that we can source. And so giving can only come through the pockets of us. It's the only way that it works. And so it's a big ask of you, I know. It's a really big ask. you know, we can break this down into numbers. If we all gave £30 extra a month, that would get us about half the way there. If you're not giving currently and you want to give, that would get us half the way there potentially. So there are ways we can do it. There are simple numbers that can make this work, but it's going to cost us all to do it. And in the middle of a utility crisis and a cost of living crisis, it seems like the worst time to be coming to you and asking for anything. Rather, we should say, can we help you out? But we believe this is what God is asking us to do. And so therefore, this is now a step of faith for us. It's an act of discipleship for us to step out. And we look to you for that. Now, I'm a waffling vicar. But Sarah, you're far more articulate and succinct than me. Sarah, you represent the leadership of the church and being a church warden. What are your reflections?
Okay, I'll just be a waffling church warden. So there are a couple of reflections. First of all, I wanted to say, as you know, the PCC is responsible for the governance of the church, is the leadership of the church. And I think sometimes out there, you know, people think it's a boring place to be or, you know, not an exciting thing. I would say we had a PCC day yesterday and a ministry leads yesterday, and we had a special meeting to talk about this. And do you know what? It's really exciting because the decision to go for this was absolutely unanimous. And our PCC is made up of people of all ages and stages, and it was a totally unanimous decision that we should take this step of faith, because £100,000 seems totally scary. Now, I am not out of my comfort zone type of person, ask Carlton. I don't do that. The best book I ever read, actually, was, that's the only reason I ended up as a head teacher, was I read a book called If You Want to Walk on Water, You've Got to Get Out of the Boat. But I've also personally been on a challenge, been challenged by a book I've read on prayer over the last few months. I've got to get this the right way around. It's called Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools. And it really challenged me that I've been limiting God by my prayer life. But because I'm worried about being disappointed, I'm not specific and I'm not asking brave enough prayers. So now I have a list in the back of my prayer journal, which has... it's more specific, and it says, be surprised or disappointed. And actually, yes, there are some disappointments, but actually there's a lot of surprises as well. And I just think, okay, so if we don't get £100,000, we will be disappointed. But actually, how amazing this would be. This is such a start of a real adventure for us. How amazing it could be if we're all surprised. And I just want to share with you something. I know the Lectio fans out there will have heard this. Last Sunday, there was an ancient prayer that Pete Gregg talked about. And I'm just going to read you the first part of it. Disturb me, Lord, when I am too well pleased with myself. When my dreams have come true because I have dreamed too little. When I have arrived safely because I sailed too close to the shore. And that just really spoke to me.
Thank you, Sarah. So we are lifting up our sails and we are asking the Holy Spirit to blow us into deep water. And I think if we want to see some of those 17,000 come to faith in Jesus, I think it begins here, doesn't it? There is this journey of stepping out in faith, and it starts with us. And so just for a couple of minutes, we're going to play some music. And if you've got your pledge cards, I'd ask you just to read the last bit. It says, my pledge. And on the back, a little bit about some financial response you can make. I know that for some of you, you can't make a financial response today. You need to go away. You need to pray about it. You might need to ask somebody else in the family to think about what can we do. I was chatting to somebody last week, and he was praying, and he said, you know, it's the strangest thing, but he said, I think there are some people who can't give any more. And he said, but I wonder whether actually, like the early Acts, there's something they could sell. They could sell something, and they could give that to the church. That was a model in the very beginning. They sold fields. I don't know if any of you got any property, but I don't mean to, I'm not asking for that. But we just give what we can. So we're going to play music for a couple of minutes. If you feel that you're in a place where you can say, I'm in, and I would like to then tick the I'm in box. I'm in to pray for the vision of the church. I'm in to explore how I can serve, and I'm in to review my giving. And you want to tick that, and if you want to fill in the form, then we can do that. We're going to give ourselves a couple of minutes. If you don't feel you can do the financial bit, why don't you just pray? Pray for the vision of where we're going. We believe we're going. Pray that God would send us an associate somehow, that we would have the funds for it. Pray that the funds would come in. We're all part of this. We all get to play, and we all want to go on this faith journey and become followers of Jesus. And sometimes it is at a cost. In fact, I'm pretty sure it's always at a cost if you want to go deeper with Jesus. But how extraordinary to see his kingdom come in this place. So let's put on some music, Mark. Thank you. A couple of minutes. And if you do fill in your cards, there's going to be a little basket just on the side over there. Ian, thank you. And a little table at the back. So if you want to drop your pledge forms in as you go, that would be great. Good. Let's play some music and then I'll hand over to Becky. Had time to fill in your forms, but you'd like to do stay at the end. We're not throwing you out, but right now we're coming to the Lord's table, and all are welcome to come and receive today. If you know and you follow Jesus, you are welcome. So the Lord is here. The Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love, you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ, you shared our life that we may live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. On the night he was betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. And so as we proclaim his death and we celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ our risen Lord. And so with your whole church, throughout the world, throughout the ages, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal voice of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And as our Saviour has taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Forever and forever. Amen. I'm glad you're here. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you. And feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.